All right, welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from TCO Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. We have lots to get to in today's show. It's a Senior Bowl preview show, so we're going to bring in Vikings.com's Craig Peters, who is going to Mobile, Alabama, and the Senior Bowl once again this year. We'll bring him in, ask him some questions, get a little Senior Bowl preview going in a little bit. But first, we're going to give you the update on your Minnesota Vikings, who are spread out everywhere right now. We're going to break it all down, discuss it, and figure out what it means or could lead to for your favorite squad. Also, later in the show, some fan mail. Nate and I voted on what we thought was the best special teams play of the season, and then we'll review our divisional round picks and reveal our conference championship game picks. But first, your Minnesota Vikings, they are everywhere. Nate, I saw something cool on Twitter the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I saw a picture of Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, and Harrison Smith at Twickenham Stadium with the Lombardi Trophy.
I did see that.
It's pretty cool.
How'd they get that trophy? They're going to need that trophy pretty soon.
They better return it.
Yeah. I hope it. When they send it over, you know, you got to make sure there's plenty of padding. You don't want that thing breaking.
Do they have the popcorn little thing, the popcorn probably, packing
they
chips?
They probably have like seven different kinds of padding.
Yeah.
Just to make sure.
You have to be very careful. That's delicate.
Yeah.
So I retweeted that. That was from the NFL UK's Twitter account, because, of course, NFL UK has a Twitter account. And I assume that was the real trophy. That they could have. Maybe the joke's on me and it wasn't the real trophy. But Twickenham Stadium is where the Vikings will play in London later this season. Not at Wembley Stadium, which is where they played in 2013 against the Steelers. They're going to be at Twickenham Stadium, which is a rugby stadium, and hosted an NFL game last season. So kind of cool to see three of our better players in that stadium with the Lombardi Trophy. The East-West Shrine Game. Our defensive coordinator is going to be the head coach of the West team in the East-West Shrine Game. We also have three other Vikings assistant coaches coaching in that game. Kevin Stefanski, Hank Fraley, and Andrew Janoco are the three Vikings assistants who are also coaching in that game. But George Edwards will be the head coach. And the East-West Shrine Game is one of those college all-star games that happens every single year. Another one is the Senior Bowl, and we have Craig Peters here to preview that in a minute. So the Vikings will be in Mobile, Alabama. And lastly, the Vikings will be in Orlando at the Pro Bowl. We're going to send Lindsey Young, one of our writers, and Zach Royce, who runs a lot of our social stuff. We're going to send him and her to Orlando to follow Everson, Xavier, Harry, and Cordero at the Pro Bowl. And we've learned in the last week that Linval Joseph will also be going to the Pro Bowl. So it's kind of cool that VEN will have a presence there. So I suppose we should bring Lindsey and Zach in a week or two so they can kind of recap the Pro Bowl and tell us what they saw.
Makes sense.
Yeah. For now, though, we're going to talk about the Senior Bowl. So let's bring in Craig Peters and preview what's going to happen in Mobile. All right, Craig, you're heading to Mobile. It's your third Senior Bowl, and you know the ropes now. You're a Senior Bowl veteran. So what are the first must-dos of a Senior Bowl trip for you?
I'd love to catch up on a little Southern cuisine in between assignments. So I'm always looking forward to a little Gulf Coast seafood and a little down-home cooking. So it takes me back to Southern roots. So yeah. I like that. And aside from that, it's usually some pretty decent weather for January now that I'm getting more used to Minnesota winters. Mm-hmm. And it's just such I don't think fun is the accurate word, but such an enjoyable atmosphere maybe because you're up and close personal. You see all this fraternity that exists in the NFL. They try to – it's such a competitive league during the season, but – so many of these coaches and personnel men know each other because their work is their life a lot of times. So you see them take a breath, relax a little bit. None of them are where they want to be because ideally you're preparing for the Super Bowl.
Right.
But they also take a breath and then start familiarizing themselves with all these college prospects. More than 100 will be on hand.
Wow.
Seniors and then a few draft eligible juniors have now started to be invited, and there's always some pretty good players that make some noise. Mm-hmm. Last year, quarterbacks in particular, I remember seeing some close views of. It was right at the height of Wentz mania began, I believe.
Yeah.
Got him his trajectory toward the draft. And then kind of hidden still in the mix was Dak Prescott.
Wow.
And I thought he had a really solid week, and I put aside all my bias toward Mississippi State.
You're heavy there.
Yeah, I've watched Dak play more games than probably a lot of
the scouts
at that point. And, you know, it was nice to see him have a good week. And there's a couple MSU guys this time around, too. Fred Ross, the receiver, and Justin Senior, a right tackle. So it's always good to see the Bulldogs represent the university.
Well, right tackle. I mean, fans are going to want you to pay attention to the offensive linemen. So you'll get to pay attention to one of your own, maybe, huh?
I believe by my count there are 20 offensive linemen so far invited to Mobile.
We'll take all of them.
Yeah, sometimes the rosters have some fluctuations, as you've seen before down there, too. A guy might get hurt or pull out at the last minute or you know, something else could come up. But I think that we will be looking at the offensive line prospects throughout the time that we spend in Mobile and try to get that good level of familiarity with them. Right now I've got like 12 pages of notes in a Word file right now.
Wow.
And I feel like I've only just started researching these prospects.
But
it's like I said, it's an enjoyable time to – we really don't get that much free time to watch college football in our season either.
Right.
So it's a process of going – through and really getting familiar with guys.
Yeah, and for you, it's two practices a day, mm-hmm. the north and the south, with maybe some writing in between and some writing after. And in the morning before practice, you'll finish up some stories that you'll post that day, right? That's kind of the schedule for you?
Absolutely. We'll they'll have kind of an introductory kickoff on Monday, press conference, which a couple years ago, TJ Clemmings was actually one of the players that was brought into the room. Yeah, it was kind of interesting how then he wound up with the Vikings.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Vikings have had success at finding players in the Senior Bowl. There are 10 currently on the roster that have been past participants. Harrison Smith is the most notable, probably, along with Chad Greenway.
He was a Senior Bowl guy?
If you go way back, you know, I would love to find some old photos from back then of Chad making his mark in the –
That's pretty cool.
First impression on the NFL since he's left quite a he's built such a legacy in the game.
Yeah, interesting. The rosters were released. I know you guys did some work on that, but two names that Vikings fans will find familiar because you're going to do stories on them are McDermott and Asiata.
Yeah, that's correct. They're same names on our roster. And Connor McDermott is the younger brother of Vikings long snapper Kevin McDermott, and he's a tackle prospect out of UCLA as well, where his brother went. And we seem to have had a direct pipeline to Southern California in recent years.
Yes, USC and UCLA.
But so it'll be fun. Kevin's not going to be down there, but the parents, their parents will be. So I'm going to try to connect with them a little bit too, and just kind of profile his backstory, and their experiences through this pre-draft process are going to be completely different.
Yeah,
and you think about that. Kevin told me he had maybe one agent, and I think his brothers had about 12 that he's received offers from, and all this and all that. And so, you bring one long snapper for each team to the Senior Bowl, but like tackles, you have usually about four a piece. And that's another thing that's so great about the Senior Bowl is with Phil Savage, a former NFL personnel man, and listeners might recognize him from his work on ESPN as well, or the Alabama fans of the world know him on his work on the radio.
Yeah,
but he's really taken it to heart to try to give every team that comes to Mobile the most and every player the most NFL-like experience possible that week. So, you know, the practices are set up the way that the Browns and the Bears staffs would ideally run their normal practices. Now, sure, you're blending guys together really quickly, but it was also fun to contrast the way that the Cowboys and the Jaguars handled their practice approaches last year.
Yeah.
So that really was one of the most amazing differences.
Yeah.
And then Asiata is a offensive line prospect as well, also out of Utah. Mm-hmm. And he's a cousin of Vikings running back Matt Asiata. Mm-hmm. So we'll hopefully catch up with him too, get more on his backstory. I think it's should be a good time, and we'll be on the lookout for other interesting nuggets and recap some practices at the end of the day. I do like the schedule this year. All practices are in the afternoon and pretty much back-to-back. So that'll be nice.
That's good because if I remember right, in years past, you go back to your hotel between practices and then come back to the stadium.
And it's just like better a weird window of time, you know?
Yeah.
You don't really have enough time by the time you leave the site, so it's nice and be able to have the surface convenient for most of the time, typing up along the way too. Yeah.
And you guys are going to run down Jamal Stevenson, our director of college scouting.
Looking forward to that, grabbing his insights and seeing where our department is on that. You know, I think that personnel probably tries to prepare the coaching staff as much as possible to get the most out of this week too, because our coaching staff has been so busy assessing, you know, the 2016 season and putting the finishing touches on the work that they have to do there. And then it's like a crash course, turbocharged learning lesson. And I'm sure that they'll have some productive dialogue.
Lastly, you mentioned it already. It's Bears and Browns coaching this year. We play both those teams, obviously. We play the Bears twice, but we play the Browns as well. So you'll see those staffs getting an up-close look at the players. And so that'll be, you know, that's another kind of connection that we have. We talked earlier in the week with Kevin Seifert, who had done stories recently on Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan. And I'm like, you know, we play three games against those guys. You know, next year we play three games against the teams that coach the Senior Bowl. And I know from being there that it's an advantage for the teams who get to coach these players at the Senior Bowl. I mean, slight advantage or significant advantage, I don't know. But it is an advantage because you're getting, you know, one-on-one time with all these players. You mentioned Harrison Smith as a guy that really stood out. I remember Russell Wilson was there when I was there one year, Bobby Wagner. So it's, you know, these are names that fans, you know, who are listening and who will take in your coverage, a lot of these names they don't know right now, and a lot of these names they will wind up not ever knowing. But it's a guarantee that there will be at least a handful of players who will become NFL stars who play in this game.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's and practice this week, and so that's interesting. And you won't be staying for the game. There's really no point in doing that. You're going there for the practices, which is where all the work is done and the observations can be made. So
And I'll look forward to tuning in to the game on Saturday afternoon. And,
that is fun to
just
do.
Kind of put the period at the end of the sentence.
That's right.
Writers like to do that.
That is true. Yeah, they do. And we'll look forward to your coverage from it. So. People can follow you on Twitter. What's your handle?
At P. Craigers.
They can follow you on Vikings.com, of course, and then we'll have you back in here to wrap it up. Maybe
2017 resolution is to tweet a little more.
Tweet a little more. Okay. Well, see, that's great because there's a lot of people who should probably resolve to tweet a little less.
There might be.
But you're resolving to tweet a little more, which is good. Now, we're spread out. Our crew, our VEN crew is spread out here. We just talked about this earlier in the Wobcast. I mean, we have East-West Shrine Game. We have Pro Bowl. We have Super Bowl. We have Senior Bowl. So lots of stuff to take in, but we look forward to taking in your stuff from the Senior Bowl.
Well, thanks very much.
All right, man. Good luck. The Senior Bowl, I used to go to that, Nate. I think you've been to one, right?
I have been to two of them.
Two of them,
actually.
Okay.
What's your favorite part about being at the Senior Bowl?
The food.
Yeah,
I like the food down there. That's what you're going to say?
Yeah.
I like the food and then the NFL convention / center of the universe feel that you have when you're there. I mean, everyone is there from every team.
Sort of like the combine, but a lot more laid back than the combine.
Yes, I think that's because the media exposure is less there.
Yeah.
At the combine, it's like to the max.
Right.
At the Senior Bowl, it's a little more off the beaten path, so to speak.
It's centered around the practices and the game still, where the combine, everything is all spread out.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have practices during the day. If you want to talk to a player, you have like 5 minutes to grab him off the field, and then he's gone. So NFL Network is obviously there live like every day, but it is a cool opportunity. You can be sitting in the stands, as I know sometimes you sit with Vikings scouts and stuff, and sometimes you're on your own.
Right.
But then you like look over, and there is, you know, fill in the blank head coach.
It's amazing.
Of 32 teams. Well, probably not 32 teams. The Belichick is probably not going to be there. I'm going to take a wild guess. I think he's a little bit busy.
Yeah, I think he'll be busy at that time. But yeah, but you're right. I mean, and you're walking. I mean, there aren't really fans that get to go. So when you're leaving the stadium after a practice, you're filing out of the stadium like you were a fan who attended a game. But like in front of you is, you know, Andy Reid and Bob Sutton, and behind you, you know, is Mike McCarthy and Dom Capers, you know, and it's just like, you know, I'm just here covering the team for the website, but, you know, so it's a cool atmosphere. There's a sports bar there called Heroes, which has an amazing shrimp basket for lunch or dinner that I love, tempura fried shrimp, and they have homemade coleslaw and homemade tartar sauce that's amazing. So I love the food down there. Anyway, Senior Bowl is a fun time.
There's also football.
There's also football that goes on there. So it's football and food. I mean, and if you do it right, you know, I would always get in early enough on Sunday so I could watch the conference championship games in my room.
Right.
So I'm not traveling during those games. So it's a fun experience. Good luck to Craig and to Harris who are going down there to cover it for Vikings.com. All right. Special teams plays of the year voting. It's up right now on Vikings.com. 5 of our better special teams plays. Nate, you guys put them together. You cut up the clips. Mm-hmm. I went through. I watched all 5 plays, and I voted. Did you?
I did vote.
All right.
We'll see if our votes match
up. We will. I voted for Cordero Patterson's 104-yard kickoff return touchdown against the Arizona Cardinals.
Gotcha.
I think it... you know, it illustrates what he does best. I think the best thing that he does is return kicks, and that was it. And that was one of 2 non-offensive touchdowns in that game for us. Xavier Rhodes also had a 100-yard interception return touchdown, and we needed both of those touchdowns to win that game. It was a close game at the end.
Right.
So I thought that was the best one of the year, but I thought the other 4 were all worthy. And I'd like to know what you voted for.
Well, I voted for Marcus Sherrill's punt return against the Houston Texans, the 79-yard punt return. Well, one reason is, you know, nobody ever talks enough about Marcus Sherrill.
They don't, right.
So this is my opportunity to do so. Another reason, he made a couple nice moves, weaving in and out, as Marcus Sherrill does, to open a hole for himself, basically, on the punt return. And 3, it really just, like, blew that game open. Like, we had a comfortable lead, but it was still, I think, like halfway through the second quarter, so right. Plenty of time left. But you know, after that play, you could see like our sideline exploding. Yeah. Like they were gonna have fun the rest of the game, and the Texans were not.
Do you get a feel for that when you're on the field shooting? You know, you're shooting the games. Do you get a feel for momentum that the players are feeling, different than maybe what we get watching it on TV in the press box or the radio booth, or different than what people listening might get at home? Do you feel like you can feel that from the players?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a lot different, though, than if you are at home. Like, if you're at home and, like, tuned into the game. Like, if it's just on in the background, obviously you don't feel it as much. But, like, the Dallas game, when we were coming back and making it tight, like, you could feel that, obviously. Yeah. Like I said, with the Houston game, you could feel that play kind of just blowing the door open. Like, if Houston comes back, it's going to kind of be a surprise.
Yeah, because, like, you're on the field, so, like, the crowd is on you. You can sense that, I would think, you know, whereas I'm in the radio booth, and we have the window open so we can hear it, but it's not coming down on us like it would be on you, you know,
right.
So I'm sure you can feel that. Interesting. You voted for Sherrill's punt return touchdown. He was involved in 2 of the special teams plays. Kudos to him. Patterson was involved in 4 of them, and really kind of 3 of them. I don't know that he should get credit for that forced fumble on Dwayne Harris's fumble in the Giants game, but he was right there when Dwayne Harris fumbled. So I guess he was applying pressure of some kind.
Right in his face.
So, yeah. But so really, I mean, Cordero was involved in 4 of our 5 top special teams plays this season, so credit to Cordero for stepping up and finding a way to contribute.
And credit to the Vikings for making a difference on a lot of different types of special teams plays. You know, if you blindly go to Vikings.com/top plays to vote for top special teams plays, you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to see, you know, 5 40 or 50-yard field goals.
Not so. Right.
So making a difference all over the place.
Yeah, we got a 73-yard punt up in this thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't see that everywhere.
Right. All right. Fan mail. Got any good ones this week?
I think we have a couple.
Okay.
Let's give it a shot. First question is from Chris in California.
Mm-hmm.
He says, why can't Jerick McKinnon be our featured running back? Short and sweet.
Yeah, I think you could have him be that if you wanted to, but what you want to do is get into a situation where you're putting a player in the best possible situation to succeed. And I think with Jerick, that he has a chance to succeed as the bell cow feature back, but I think he has a better chance to succeed if he's a complimentary back, if he's part of this of the solution, not the entire solution. So, I think that he's at his best when he gets onto the field and it's a third down situation or a passing situation, or when you put him on the field, the other team thinks you're going to be passing, so they're in nickel, and then you run with him against a nickel defense. That's where I think Jerick's at his best. So I'd rather have a feature back, a guy that I give the ball to 20 times a game, and then put Jerick in as a change of pace, put Jerick in as a little like Joker type player, direct snap in the Wildcat, line him up in the slot. Like, remember I think it was a 2-point conversion that he caught in a home game late in the season, where he ran basically a route that you would tell a receiver to run. But Jerick has the ability to run that as a running back. So he's out there on the field. He's probably got a safety or a linebacker on him, but he can run a route like a receiver. Like, he's like a Deion Lewis for the Patriots to me. That's when I think he's at his best. So I'd rather have him be a complement to what we're doing than be the feature back, even though I think he has the ability to be a feature back if you needed him to be. I think he's better served as a complement.
Michael Norris has a friend in Sam Bradford, it looks like.
Okay.
Michael says, I believe the trade for Bradford was worth it. I know everybody's expectations were to make a deep run in the playoffs, but injuries derailed those hopes. The injury bug feasted on this team. Let this team get healthy, add a couple pieces to the Vikings, and make a run in 2017. Plus, the quarterback situation is the best it's been in a long time. Super Bowl 52, Oakland at Minnesota, barring any major injuries, Michael is calling a shot.
That's my favorite part of the email. He made a prediction. I mean, he just didn't say these are the problems. He offered some solutions to the problems, and then he made a prediction, and I love it. Vikings and Raiders in Super Bowl 52 here in Minnesota. The Vikings get their revenge over the Raiders, who beat them in a previous Super Bowl. So I love that. The Vikings, I agree the Vikings are in great shape at quarterback. I agree with Michael on that. And we all want Teddy to get back and be healthy, and a lot of people want him to be the starter, and that would be great. And we don't know how it's going to unfold, but if Teddy is able to come back, we got a cool situation at quarterback with two guys that we know can get the job done.
Last question is from Finn.
Mm-hmm.
Finn says, I asked you about him last year when he wasn't even wearing purple and gold, but now, as he's been on the practice squad all season and recently signed to a future contract, do you believe that Moritz Boettringer...
Nice.
Did I say that?
Well done.
Thank you. Yeah. Do you believe he improved and he can have an impact on the wide receiver position going forward? Or what do you think about his future? He also loves the work we do on Vikings.com and social media in general, and he wishes us all the best.
Oh, Finn, what a nice guy.
Thanks, Finn.
Yes, Finn was on Moritz before he was drafted. So credit to Finn, because even though Moritz didn't come onto the scene and explode and make the Pro Bowl or play in a game or make a catch, you know, he still was drafted, and he's still on a roster. So
right.
And he never played college football or anything. So kudos to Finn. I don't think that Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer would keep a guy around if he wasn't someone that demonstrated improvement and had, you know, didn't have a chance. So I think the fact that he was signed to a futures contract tells us that he improved enough to keep a spot on the 90-man roster during the offseason, because that's really what it comes down to. I mean, you have 90 players in the offseason. You know, the threshold is not as high to maintain a spot. But I think if this guy had no chance to ever do anything ever, I just think you'd cut ties and move on. So the fact that he was signed, I don't think Rick looks at futures contracts as a joke. I think he takes them seriously. He signed him to one, so I think that's a good sign for Moritz.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think probably the biggest learning curve is already behind him. Don't you think? Like making the adjustment from playing in Germany to being part of an NFL organization,
mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine all the adjustments he had to make
right.
mentally and physically and his route running and all that.
Right.
Just
good point.
Assuming everything had to change, basically. And so now he's past that at least shock stage, whatever that might have been for him. And he's going forward, and Rick and Coach Zimmer thought enough, at least at this point, to keep him around.
Right. It'll be a second time through a lot of stuff now, and it's easier to do it your second time through. So good luck to Moritz. Hopefully he keeps improving.
All right, Wobby. Well, congratulations, first off.
Why?
On your playoff picks.
A blind squirrel.
Shiny, sparkly 4-0 right. record.
Blind squirrel week. Finds a nut every now and then.
I suppose so. Yeah. I was 3-1, yeah. So the one game we differed on, I proved to be incorrect mm-hmm. on. So.
And I got to give you credit. I mean, I know you got a soft spot in your heart for the Chiefs, but you went with your head and you picked the Steelers over the Chiefs, and you were right.
That was a good game.
That was awesome.
Both games that day were very good.
Was it? Did I see the first time ever that a team had scored two more touchdowns than its opponent and lost the game?
Probably. I'd believe
so.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. And
first time there's ever someone's made 6 field goals, at least in a playoff game. I know that.
And I always think, you know, the team with the most field goals is going to lose, you know, because you're sitting there kicking these field goals thinking, God, we should be getting 6 here, not 3. But it worked out for Pittsburgh. That was a grinder of a game. That was a lot of fun. That was Arrowhead Stadium, I think, at its best. I remember I watched a big game there, maybe against the Raiders. I wasn't there. I watched it on TV, and I remember being like, I just didn't think Arrowhead was that loud. Like I expected it to be, you know, have a little more teeth to it. That game last weekend, I could tell that was awesome. That was an awesome atmosphere. Too bad the Chiefs couldn't win, because that would have been a fun game for them to win in front of their home team. Two really good games on Sunday last week to lead into conference championship Sunday this weekend.
Which we assume will probably be pretty good games as well.
Should be.
It's supposed to be, mm-hmm. right? It's conference championship.
I expect lower scoring games, and okay. I expect close games. That's what I expect.
All right. We'll look at Green Bay at Atlanta first. Sunday afternoon on Fox. What's your hot take on this game?
Well, I think that not having Jordy was not that big of a deal for Green Bay in the playoffs. Now, over a 16-game season, I think it's a huge deal to not have Jordy. But, you know, for a 2 or 3-game stretch in the playoffs, I think Green Bay can overcome that. I think if you're down Jordy and you're down Devontae, which they may be without both, they might have both, but they might be without both, I think that hurts when you don't have either one. And so that, I think, will be a big factor in this game. Julio Jones is also limited in practice because of a toe injury, but I think he's going to play. The over-under on this game is like 63. I know that everyone expects a shootout, and I think it'll be fairly high scoring, but I don't think it's going to get that high. But I think it's going to come down to the final 5 minutes, and my gut tells me that Green Bay is going to find a way to win.
I'm with you, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's tough to pick against them now. Yep. I mean, it was a decent game last week. We both picked the Packers, and look how it ended up.
Right. Now, if like I said, if Jordy does not play and if Devontae does not play, I think my mind might change a little bit.
Okay.
And let's also remember that Green Bay won the game in Dallas last weekend, but I think they were up 21-3 or 20-3. And, you know, they squeaked it out. So I don't think they're going to get up 21-3 on Atlanta. And so, I think this is a much tougher game for Green Bay, but I cannot bet or pick against Aaron Rodgers right now. I don't know how you could do it.
Yeah, it'd be tough to do. But in your conversation with Kevin Seifert, mm-hmm. which will be up on Vikings.com if it's not already at the time of listening to this, he had some interesting stuff to say about Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan.
Yep.
Do you remember? Can you kind of sum up what he said?
He basically said that all we've been talking about is Aaron Rodgers for the last X amount of weeks, but Matt Ryan has matched him throw for throw, if not surpassed him throw for throw in his head. And I think basically Kevin's, his premise basically was Aaron Rodgers has been out of his mind good for the last eight games, but Matt Ryan has been out of his mind good for the whole season. That's basically what he's saying. And I mean, Matt has had probably the best season of his career this year. Matt Ryan has, and he's had a really good career. So, I think this is one of those games where if it's a 10-point game or a 14-point game with 5 minutes to go, no one's turning their TV off. I think you're going to watch this one to the end.
All right, and moving on to Pittsburgh at New England on CBS on Sunday evening. Two teams that nobody would have picked at the beginning of the season to be in the AFC Championship.
No one saw it coming.
Nope, that, no one.
AFC always keeps you guessing.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about this game?
I couldn't bet against Pittsburgh last week because of Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. I just couldn't pick against them, you know, with that offense. But I can this week. New England's record at home in the playoffs is, with Brady and Belichick, is unbelievable. I think Brady has only lost 3 home playoff games. He's like 19-3 in home playoff games. First of all, it's amazing he's played 22 home playoff games. That's amazing. But then it's amazing he's only lost 3 of those 22. So it's just really hard for me to pick against that trend. And I think Belichick is going to have a plan for Le'Veon Bell. And the plan might be, we're just going to let Le'Veon get whatever he can get, and we're going to hold down Big Ben in the passing game, and then when the Steelers get into the red zone where it's harder to run naturally, they're going to have to settle for field goals again. We're going to score touchdowns and win. It could be that. I'm not saying that they're going to shut Bell down. I just think they're going to have a plan for Le'Veon Bell. We've seen Belichick in big playoff games against big-time running backs before, and he's done really well. I remember game plans they've had against Marshall Faulk, one in the Super Bowl, I believe. That was really good. So I think Belichick and that defense will find a way to keep the Steelers to like 17 or 19 or 20 points, and I think Tom Brady will score 20 or more, and they'll win a close game. So I'm on New England.
I've learned to never pick against Belichick and Tom, especially when they're together.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do it this time.
Whoa! Yes!
Partly because if you get it wrong and I get it right, then we're tied up for our playoff picks. So
okay.
I got to make a move somewhere. Also, just seeing the way Le'Veon Bell carried the ball.
Amazing.
And that offensive line, too. I mean, Kansas City's had their struggles a little bit against the run this year, but they're not a slouch defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Bell was getting like 8 yards every time he touched the ball, even though the run itself would take like 20 seconds because he just sits there and waits.
He had back-to-back record-setting performances for the Steelers.
It's crazy.
Rushing yardage, yeah.
Anyway, so I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh.
I love it.
In New England, knocking off Tom for a trip to the Super Bowl.
So you would have...
hurry up and end this before I change my mind, because it might happen.
There was a point in time where playoff teams, 12 consecutive playoff games were won by the home team. That snap was, or that streak was snapped when Green Bay beat Dallas.
Yeah. On Sunday.
And so what you're suggesting is a new streak is going to start. It's going to be 4 straight road playoff wins.
Yeah,
for teams.
I will.
Because both road teams won Sunday, and then we both picked Green Bay, which was they'll be the road team.
Right.
And then you pick Pittsburgh. They'll be the road team. So that'd be 4 straight road wins in the playoffs. So you're saying you're a believer in the law of averages, that the regression here to the average is going to happen.
Sure.
Good.
Yep.
At least you're not like... winging and praying on a team that's got no shot to win in the playoffs. You're taking the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers are hot right now. And those linebackers, they could get on Tom Brady.
Yeah.
They can rush the passer. Bud Dupree and Ryan Shazier, 2 recent draft picks of the Steelers. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yes.
So, going to be fun. Enjoy the games, man.
You too.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This edition of the Wobcast is over. Our thanks to Craig Peters for stopping in to preview the Senior Bowl, and our thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next week with more Vikings talk for you. Until then, enjoy the games, everyone. We'll talk to you later.